that she couldn't see. How the hands of time had battered her around and left her lost and lonely with things that could have been, and a heart that's turned to stone that won't let nothing in. And though you want, though you want, though you want, and
do you still dream of satin, fine china and wine lace, and a man of Satin. That's Colin James. And now to Dunville, Ontario, where the effervescent Billy Castleman is ready to welcome in the new year with some dirty, rotten scoundrels. Sung Neen Phylok, Billy. You know, that's Happy New Year in Cantonese Chinese.
Wow. Multilingual fire. I'm always impressed. I'm very upset, Jack. There's a scratch in my Guy Lombardo record. I may not be able to play Auld Lang Syne tonight.
Well,
Auld Lang Syne.
Well, let me tell you something. Coming up very shortly, Danny Finkelman and I are going to herald the new year in at the end of the show for those people who want New Year early, 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 and then can go to bed and miss all the nonsense.
I'll be tuned in.
Okay, and I'm also going to have Carmen Lombardo with the rest of the Guy Lombardo band.
Well, that's great, Jack. I often have to go to bed early on New Year's Eve because of, morning prayers.
Indeed, of course.
Dirty, rotten scoundrels.
Yes, I've heard all about it. Steve Martin and Michael Caine, and that's a very strange combination for me.
Together again for the first time, as they say. Well, Michael Caine is always interesting to watch. He's apparently the busiest actor in movies these days. You know that that guy has made 50 feature films in the last 23 years.
Well, I can believe it because I agree, he is prolific.
Yeah.
Well, even this year he's done a couple that sort of have escaped me at the moment, but he's definitely had a couple of major movies.
He doesn't mind appearing in ones that are going to go down the toy rather quickly.
Well, what's the matter?
I think he's one of those. No, I like the guy.
Take the money and run.
Hey, especially a nice thought for the New Year's, Jack.
Why not?
Anyways, this thing, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, is a kind of a remake, update, rewrite of an absolutely hellacious turkey from 1964 called Bedtime Story.
That sounds like it would star James Garner and Doris Day.
Well, that's, except it was Marlon Brando and David Niven,
oh,
and it was really bad. But basically, it's the same plot. Michael Caine is a sophisticated con man,
yeah,
living in ill-gotten luxury on the French Riviera,
mm-hmm,
where he bilks daffy widows of their dead husband's money. And he does this by pretending that he's the impoverished prince of a little tiny country, and he's living in exile, and he needs the money to free his native land from an evil dictator.
Yes, all of which is a bunch of hooey.
This is correct. And he doesn't take money from innocent people or poor people.
Never.
So, but into his territory bumbles a cheap, klutzy hood,
Steve Martin.
And Steve is content, is a real cheapo. Steve is happy if he just gets a free meal off a woman in a train, like by making up a story about his sick grandmother's need for a new wheelchair.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
So they're onto the same turf. They're both trying to bilk the same people.
No, they're not, you see. But Caine realizes that if this cheapo guy starts operating in the little town of Beaumont-sur-Mer,
mm-hmm,
that he will he could louse things up at the casino where Caine usually picks up his widows. So he's got to get rid of this parvenu pest. And he tries different methods, and nothing works. So he offers to take the guy under his wing, to teach Steve Martin how to be a creme de la creme bunco artiste.
Yep.
You see? How to glom the really big bucks off the rich widows. And this Martin is a slob, so he's got to learn the finer things of life. One little scene that works quite nicely, for example, is how a gentleman plays croquet. And, you know, we've got Kane all dressed in tennis whites and so forth, instructing him in the fine art of the balanced mallet. Yeah. And you know, they're clad impeccably, and they're going over this beautiful green sward. And then Martin interrupts to ask if he can go to the bathroom. So he goes and takes a whiz on one of Kane's prize Mediterranean rare pine tree seedlings that's in his garden and kills it, you know. So, and Steve Martin gets to do his shtick that we're all familiar with from TV specials and so on.
Does he do his wild and crazy guy act?
Yeah, a couple of times. And it's all fun. It's all fun to watch. The movie is then turns, they double-cross each other all the way through the rest of the movie, and the movie is a kind of comic roundelay of deception in which everybody ends up getting cheated. And as I said, it's fun to watch Kane, it's fun to watch Steve Martin. This is a middling comedy, Jackie. It's not great, it's not awful. It's directed by the man who gave us the voice of Miss Piggy, the Muppets' Frank Oz.
Yeah.
And I was happy to see that at least this time out, this is Frank's second feature film, and his
Blue Labyrinth or something like
that. No, his first feature was Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, right.
In which he had
Rick Moranis was in that.
Well, he had to try to make Rick Moranis funny for 2 hours. That's a job I wouldn't wish on Sisyphus. Here he's got professionals to work with and guys with real comic talent, and they come through as best they can. The best thing about Dirty Rotten Scoundrels to me is the theme. It's a comedy about self-pity. Really, because Steve Martin does a lot of turns on it. And it's about how when you step back from self-pity and look at it, even yourself pitying yourself, it's silly, it's laughable, and it's a stupid way to live, to dwell in perpetual mopery, you know, in a dank corner, muttering forever to yourself, poor little me.
Well, you and I have...
My resolution for the new year, Jack, is no more self-pity for me.
I was just going to say, you and I have made a career out of that little game, haven't we?
No more, Jack. A new year dawns in a few hours. And I wish you a happy one, Jack.
Sung Lee Phi Lok, you still haven't given me a number on this turkey.
I'm going to give Dirty Rotten Scoundrels 5 out of 10. If you are a Steve Martin fan and a Michael Caine fan, check it out.
Fight!
Happy fight. Happy New Year, Jack.
Bye-bye.
Don't you know? Talking about a revolution sounds whisper. Don't you know how? Talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a don't you know, talking about a revolution, it sounds whisper. Poor people gonna rise up and get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's theirs. Don't you know you better run, run, run.
That's Tracy Chapman looking forward to a new year. Now, tonight, as the countdown begins at Times Square in New York City, my next guest will be watching very, very closely. Tama Starr is the president of the Artcraft Strauss Sign Company, which operates the big silver ball that drops down when the clock strikes 12. And I've got her on the line from Times Square in New York. Happy New Year, Tama.
Happy New Year, Jack.
No, I guess the tension is building. You're getting ready to drop the big ball.
Oh, we've been counting down for days, but it's getting real close now.
Now tell me, what is this ball made out of?
It is sort of in the shape of a cage. It's hollow, it's made of aluminum, and it has 180 light bulbs on the outside. It's about 6 feet in diameter and weighs 200 pounds, and it slides or is lowered down a 77-foot flagpole that's on top of number one Times Square.
But it's not never in any danger of crushing anybody. It's all sort of self-enclosed.
Well, we hang on to it pretty well. We have six very, very strong guys holding on to those cables to make sure that it goes down smoothly and comes down exactly on time.
So it's operated manually?
It is operated manually exactly as it has been since New Year's Eve of 1908, when my grandfather built the first New Year's Eve ball and supervised its lowering.
So this has been in the family for 80 years.
That's right. This is the 80th time that we're doing this.
Now, how did it get there in the first place back in 1908? Can you give me some of the history of the big ball?
Well, for New Year's Eve of 1905, the Times Tower was inaugurated, and that was the headquarters of the New York Times.
Yeah.
And the Times, in order to celebrate through a big New Year's Eve celebration, it had fireworks and a giant crowd that was perhaps as many as 250,000 people, very much like you see today. Now, this was an instant hit and an instant tradition, and the crowd gathered again in 1906 and 1907. I suspect that in 1907 there may have been some sort of accident with the fireworks. This was not reported by what we call the paper of record.
Yes.
But in that year, in February, fireworks were outlawed within the city limits. So some bright focus had to be found. And my grandpa at that time, he was a recent immigrant from the Soviet Union. It wasn't called the Soviet Union in those days. It was called Russia.
Right.
And he was a metal worker and an electrician. And he built the first one of these balls. The inspiration was probably the time balls that were lowered in seaports in the early part of the 19th century at noon. These were golden spheres that would come down a flagpole at exactly noon to enable ship's navigators to set their chronometers. So this is modeled on that, but of course it's done at midnight and it's electrified, but it's still a time-telling device. It's still sort of a clock in a way.
Now, you mentioned initially that the ball is lowered manually, but I would imagine that the time itself has to be computerized so the ball drops at exactly the right time.
Well, my brother and I are amateur radio operators, and so we set up our shortwave on the roof, and we get the time signal from WWV, which is the radio station of the National Bureau of Standards in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Uh-huh.
Radio waves travel, as you know, at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. So the inaccuracy caused by the 2,000 miles of travel is really minuscule.
Well, it's just a fraction of a second.
It's a teeny tiny fraction of a second. So that's as close as we're going to get. If you get your time over the telephone, you may have a delay of 3 to 4 seconds. It will not be really, really accurate. So by doing it by radio, we know that it's absolutely right. And we have digital clocks, and we set them all, and we check them all up until about 11:30. And then we talk to all the networks, and we make sure they've got the right time, and everybody else in the building. In other words, we give out the time.
Now, how long does it actually take the ball to drop, to run from the top to the bottom?
Exactly 60 seconds.
60 seconds.
So we start at 11:59:00, and the ball reaches the bottom at 12:00, and at the exact moment when it reaches the bottom, we turn the ball off and we turn on the numbers that say 1989.
Terrific. Now, I'm wondering, we're in mid-afternoon. What's happening now? Is the crowd beginning to congregate, or is it just people busy out on a nice Saturday afternoon?
No, the crowd is already starting to form up. The people out here in Times Square are boarding up their stores because the crowd is so large they don't want their windows to get broken. The police are setting up their police lines, and there were people already starting to celebrate. The guys who sell the funny hats and the horns are setting up their little tables, and I see some tourists, a lot of them speaking all different languages, going around and already getting into the spirit of things. Oh, in fact, I see a real funny-looking, tall, skinny guy. He's wearing a really dumb outfit, and he's kind of lurking outside a phone booth. I wonder what he's doing.
That's my man, Scoop Jordan. I'm sure that's him, because he's down there in Times Square. He's going to be calling us later. That must be him.
That must be him. I wondered. I said, gee, that guy looks kind of Canadian.
Yeah, he's a weird-looking guy, isn't he?
He sure is. Oh, great. But he fits right in here in Times Square.
How many people do you figure are going to be there tonight at 11:59 as the aluminum ball starts its downward trek?
Somewhere between 250,000 and 300,000.
Not a bad crowd. Not a bad crowd. And anyways, when it hits at 12:00, we hit the old Ang Syne, and I'd just like to thank you a million for talking with us, Tam, and telling us the history of the aluminum ball, and open up the bubbly and have one for us in Times Square.
Thank you, Jack, and all our best from Times Square to you up there in Canada. Best regards for a happy, happy New Year.
Okay, thank you again, Tama.
Very welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Johnny play guitar, Jenny play bass, name of the band.
hats off to Montreal's Men Without Hats for opening up that first bottle of bubbly. But that just about wraps up this hour of the radio show, but stay tuned. In the next hour, I'm going swimming with Vicky Keith, and I'm going to continue my New Year's Eve search for the king of rock and roll. Well, I bet that's old Scooper Jordan calling again. You know, probably up to no good spending my money. Hello, Studio 14. Is that you, Scooper?
It certainly is, Jackie. Hey, guess what?
What?
Kojak takes credit, too. Just had the big police escort over here to the Waldorf Astoria.
What are you doing at the Waldorf? I was just talking to my buddy Tama Starr over at Times Square, and she said that she saw you there. Goofy-looking tall guy, skinny.
Yeah, big police escort, too. I guess she mentioned that, eh? Sorry about the rental car, Jackie, but listen. Gonna go see the big, big show at the Waldorf tonight.
Oh, no, the one featuring my buddy Guy Lombardo with...
not, Jackie. There is a new band in here this year.
Where's Lombardo?
Well, he's not here, I can tell you that.
He's not? Well, what about Carmen Lombardo and Kenny Gardner?
Nope, not here, Jackie. The Waldorf Astoria this year has got a new band. Listen, I'm gonna give you a hint. You gotta guess. The background singers in their big hit song sing... A superstar, but he didn't get far.
Those would be the Pips.
Absolutely, Gladys Knight and the Pips. $525 a ticket.
$525 a ticket.
Yeah. Jackie.
$525 a ticket.
Yeah, it's nothing though. That's American, by the way.
And who's paying for it?
Well, right on the radio show credit card, just bang, just like that. They love the radio show down here, Jackie.
Okay,
they
now...
your money, especially.
Okay, now one thing, if you're down there covering the, doing this Gladys Knight and the Pips thing, I want you to do an investigative report on one of the Pips.
Yeah.
Because I have got it on good authority that Wayne Osmond, formerly a member of the Osmond Brothers, is now a Pip.
Unbelievable tip, Jackie. I'll look into that.
Okay, so
meanwhile,
yes.
Second part of New York New Year's quiz.
Yes.
Ready? Who won the speedboat race, won the Gold Cup 1946 in Tempo 4? Big, big speedboat.
Who won the what?
Speedboat race.
The speedboat race.
Yeah, Gold Cup he won.
Yeah.
1946 in, the speedboat was called Tempo 4.
In Tempo 4. That would be Guy Lombardo.
Absolutely right, Jackie. No question why you are the captain of over 100 million.
Okay, I want you. I've got a quiz for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me the name of Guy Lombardo's brother.
Yeah.
Who won Super Bowl I when he was coaching the Green Bay Packers.
Okay, had to be Carmen.
No, that would be Vince Lombardo.
Oh, Vince Lombardo. I could have got that. Jackie.
Yeah.
How many Lombardos appeared in the Guy Lombardo and the Royal Canadians?
Okay, there was Guy.
Yeah.
There was Carmen.
Yeah.
There was Vince, and there was Dooley. There were four.
More than that, Jackie.
How many?
Liebert, another brother.
Yeah.
Lane, a sister.
Yeah.
Gaetano, the father.
Yeah.
And after Guy's death, Victor, Rosemary, and Liebert's son, Bill.
So there were eight of them.
That's right. Over 6 million people have danced. Over 100 million records sold, Jackie.
Well, why are the Pips there rather than the Lombardo Orchestra?
That's a heck of a question. I'm going to get you that answer.
Along with the Osmond follow-up.
Absolutely, Jackie.
Okay, Scooper. Happy
New
Year! Enjoy New York, will you, buddy? And
as long as this credit card holds up.
Okay, well, I'd suggest you send that bill over to Ken Dye at the Auditor General's Department. Bye.
Bye.
The national news and sports are coming up next, but I'll be back after that.
This is CBC Radio.